questions.
Prime Minister, we gathered over bits and parts of your corporate positions today. David was supposed to confirm that heavy allegations being confirmed as true, he would consider it an assault. Seems to be 9 witnesses who also recall the events and please say they didn't have an axe to grind. It seems to be consistent. The decision not to go to trial is not particularly consistent with those facts.
I understand that hundreds and hundreds of pages are available on CD-ROM for people to read. I do not myself have the time to read them. The police have been looking at this for a number of months. They have made the independent assessment they always make of it. They have judged that the matter should not be taken any further, and I'm content to let it rest there.
Do you think it's possible for him to continue to serve as Minister for Social Development, which has responsibility for children in particular, in the face of ongoing questions about this matter?
Well, of course, the Minister for Child, Youth and Family is the Honourable Ruth Dyson. I think that the decision of the police that this was not an appropriate use of the criminal law to proceed to prosecute is good enough for me.
The Prime Minister, wasn't the issue that David Benson faced when the issues were, when the allegations were raised, stood up in the House and said they were not true, denied them, and has done so consistently? The police report says they have 9 credible and reliable witnesses seemingly without an axe to grind to confirm that the incidents did happen.
Well, they also have plenty of others who say that they didn't happen. So I don't propose to read hundreds of pages of transcripts. I propose to rely on the advice of the police that after a long and independent investigation and talking to many people, they decided that it was not a proper matter for the application of criminal law.
I'm not sure I was handling the matter from it, so he put out a statement apart from the fact they had actually given a statement in the Sunday papers after the first denying. He put out another statement today where he says that the police file showed that this one of the persons accused him. Of course, putting the pencil on his own mouth for a bit of a laugh, and this cast doubt on the whole scenario. But appear that Mr. Benson Pope has effectively edited that phrase and stopped just short of where the student says he pushed it into my mouth, it was really uncomfortable, he then pushed it into my mouth, which was quite wide open. I mean, it raises judgment questions, does it, that he puts out a press statement being, phrased a little bit, economical facts.
Well, of course, the documents have been released in full, obviously the media can read everything that was said about the subject by every witness. I come back to the fact that the police, having spent a great deal of time on it, having had the matter referred to me, because that was the advice I received from the Solicitor General, have made a judgment, and I don't propose to second-guess their judgment.
Is it appropriate for him to selectively quote stories before it's made public, which is what he's doing over this year, and then he denied that
Well, his staff denied that, and as I said on the morning radio interview this morning, I take a very dim view of that. I take an extremely dim view of press secretaries ever misleading the media to that extent. An apology was forthcoming, and that will be dealt with as a staff and disciplinary matter. But it is not acceptable to me for a press secretary to put media so wrong. It's quite acceptable for people not to comment, and you often get a no comment, but to steer people in the wrong direction is not appropriate.
What about him to be quoting from a police report which has been given to him as a courtesy for him to go through and delete any personal references to himself?
Personally, it is not the way that I would have handled it. However, it does appear that those who were given morsels were only too happy to print them.
Do you have full confidence in Prime Minister and David Benson
Pope? I have full confidence in David Benson Pope as a minister, yes.
Prime Minister, last week when this came up in the House, Michael Cohen first attacked Judith Collins and accused her of fiddling her expenses at the Casino Control Authority. He then went on to attack the victims of the offence and accused them of kicking people in the spine and dangling people out windows. Do you consider that an appropriate way for them to be dealt with attacks against them?
Well, I wasn't in the house, and frankly I had more important things to think about at the time, as I do today. But with respect to Ms. Collins, when people do start throwing mud around, some will always come back in their face. I don't propose to say anything further about the Casino Control Commission.
Does that mean you approve of the seeming attack?
No, what I'm saying is that fire will occasionally be met with fire in Parliament, and this whole matter has been characterised by a great deal of mudslinging towards Mr. Benson Pope, and a very selective version of events put forward in the House by Ms. Collins and Mr. Hyde. At some point, defenders of Mr. Benson Pope are going to bite back, and those who embark on these adventures need to be aware of that.
The files also show that Mr. Benson Pope's lawyer communication with the police essentially suggested to them that the two accusers who live in Australia didn't appear to pay tax in that country. I suppose what I'm saying is, are you comfortable with the tactics involved in terms of both Mr. Benson Pope's staff and legal counsel? The tactics that they employ in terms of defending?
Well, Mr. Benson Pope is entitled to seek legal advice to protect his reputation. Many people have done that, and that is routine. What I don't approve of is staff misleading media.
What about Mr. Benson Pope misleading the House? Because the corroborative evidence in the police report would suggest that Mr. Benson Pope misled the House. Can you tolerate that?
Well, that is, of course, a matter for the Speaker. The Speaker's already ruled that there is no issue of privilege.
That's very strange to see in light of the fact that the police seem to be saying, I can quote from the report, the evidence has been gathered as admissible in the court of law, and the witnesses for both incidents are credible and reliable. There is sufficient evidence to put the matter before a court.
Yes, but I say to you again, Alistair, that the police have been inside out this issue. You've asked a question. There are also witnesses who say no such thing ever happened. The police weigh up evidence when they make a decision whether or not to prosecute. They have made a decision not to prosecute without any interference from anyone in authority, and I accept their decision as I would have accepted any decision they made.
The only part of the documents which hasn't been released is the specific decision about the legal arguments which address the public interest questions and decide not to prosecute. All the other information has been released, and that shows that the police still really lied.
Yes, but I'm not going to comment on their reasoning. I referred the matter to the police on the advice of the Solicitor General, and in referring it implicitly, I undertake to accept whatever decision they make in respect of their inquiry, and I've done that. And I'm not going to second guess it.
What could possibly amount to a breach of privilege in the House?
Well, that's a matter you would have to address to the Speaker. I am not the Speaker. I do not receive advice from the clerk on matters of privilege. The Speaker does.
Do you accept Mr. Benson Pope's word that it did not happen?
Well, we must all accept the word of a member to the House.
Mr. Benson Pope says that this report shows it's been vindicated. Do you think he's been vindicated?
Well, that's a matter for him to judge. I don't propose to read hundreds of pages of transcripts. I do propose to rely on what the police have decided.
Well, given the finding that there were 9 people who said this happened, 3 of you said it did, and 15 who couldn't remember. Do you think he's been vindicated?
Well, what you can take from all of that is the police decided in the end that this was not a matter worth pursuing.
But part of the reason the time, seeing the factors they looked at, Prime Minister, were the time elapsed, the climate of the time. I mean, to come back to the issue, I suppose, which always seemed most important, is whether Mr. Benson Pope had misled the House.
But that's a matter, Mark, that only the Speaker can judge. The Speaker has judged, and I don't propose to commit a breach of privilege by commenting on that.
Okay. Do you have any concerns that this still leaves questions open about David Benson Pope? This will not draw a line under it this year, right?
Well, that's a matter for the media and for him, I imagine. But from my point of view, the fact that the police issued a decision probably the best part of 2 weeks ago now, that this was not a matter worth pursuing, leaves the matter to rest.
Dover Samuels was removed because of allegations that kept swirling around. This doesn't leave the matter to rest.
Well, I actually think this has been a very thoroughly investigated matter.
So his position in Cabinet remains secure from your point of view?
Yes.
Will you have your, will you read those, the evidence from those people in the class?
No, I do not propose to read selected portions of the evidence. We have a police force precisely for this reason. The Prime Minister cannot personally make investigations into every wild allegation that's made about everybody. The reason I accepted the Solicitor General's advice to refer it to the police was so that there could be a proper investigation and assessment. That's what we rely on the police to do, and I have relied on them to do their job, which they've done.
Well, Mr. Minister, there's one statement, I think, where the police report says, evidentially, there is sufficient evidence to say that this incident did occur. Doesn't that leave questions open?
Well, I'm not going to respond to selective bits and pieces from transcripts. I'm relying on the overall assessment the police have made as the guardians of the public interest in this respect, that this is not a matter worth pursuing.
We're quoting from the summary report, which is only 10 pages long. Are you going to read that?
Well, who knows? I'm certainly not reading hundreds.
I mean, on the hostage issue, is there any indication that they've actually been asked?
I certainly haven't heard that, Colin.
Are you aware of anything that they were really negotiating?
I am being kept up to date. Officials had a watch group meeting this morning. It is our practice when there is a crisis of some kind, in some way impacting on New Zealand or its interests, that officials across the foreign affairs, security, intelligence agencies and DPMC do meet to assess what is happening and provide me with advice. So I am getting a daily update on what is happening. Obviously, it's not in anyone's interest to put everything into the public arena, but we are being kept closely appraised of what's happening.
Robin Gregory has released part of the report of the one. Are you aware of or appraised of this report?
Shortly after I returned from the Prime Minister of Turkey's press conference, I became aware that a copy of the report had been supplied to my office. So I parked it, knowing that it was going to be tabled in Parliament tomorrow. I understand that Mr. Rongo-Wetteri has now released it. This is clearly a breach of confidence. It was given to him in confidence, as it was given to me and to Dr. Cullen, and no doubt to the Speaker in confidence. And I think it's most regrettable that he has breached that confidence. I'm not in a position to comment on it because I literally have not opened it.
Is his position sustainable when given even on the breach?
I just wouldn't want to comment until I've had a chance to look at the report. You'll have to put those questions to him.
You had a similar doubt about David Benson-Pope to what you had in terms of Mr. Wetteri sort of releasing material which is given to him in confidence.
Well, Mr. Wetteri has released a report given to him by the Auditor General, knowing that the Auditor General planned to release that report to Parliament, which he's accountable to tomorrow, and that's unfortunate. I also think it is somewhat unfortunate to selectively release matters from police report. The fact is that it's happened, and he will have to deal with it.
Weren't you accused of the same thing with the Doom report?
Well, there wasn't a report, was there?
Will you be watching David Benson-Pope in the House tomorrow to see whether, I mean, if this continues to be problems with questions and his answers?
Well, I have to tell you, I listen to ministers every day in the House. Nothing changes about that. I often have little bits of advice to offer to them later.
Mr. Benson-Pope, be there?
I've no idea whether he's on leave or not tomorrow. I suspect he'll be in the house during the week.
You suggested we ask some questions. He hasn't consented to any interviews at all. Is it possible that you could encourage him to consent to a question?
Oh, I'm sure you can use your persuasive powers.
Prime Minister, would you say that Mr. Benson Pope's actions met the higher standards of performance and accountability, as you said, would be the hallmarks?
Well, we're talking about a matter that I referred to the police concerning events alleged to have happened 23 years ago and the best part of 21 years before he became a minister. As I said to media who were with me in Malta, I think there would be many a male teacher of that era who would be looking at those allegations and thinking, there but for the grace of God go I. No, we don't have an embassy there, as in other areas where we don't have diplomatic representation, we rely on the British for consular matters. That's why we've been very clear with our travel advisories that people who go to Iraq do place themselves in a very difficult situation because we're not represented there, and there's not a lot directly that we can do for people. We do have one New Zealand military officer with the UN assistance mission to Iraq, but to the best of my knowledge, he's way up country, nowhere near Baghdad, and he's, of course, in the employment of the UN at this time. I think it's best that there's communication through one channel, and that channel is Canada. He is also a Canadian national. So issues could be raised of what standing does New Zealand have. However, because he has been residing here, because he has family here, because his mother is visiting here, because it's of public interest here, and because we're New Zealanders and hate to see people put in this position where they're subjected to death threats when they're peaceful people, we of course have made our concern known. I rang the family's phone on a Saturday afternoon. I got the answer phone. I left a long message and advised them that I'd asked the Honourable David Cunliffe, the local Member of Parliament, to contact them and be a liaison point for them. He subsequently rang them, went round and visited the family, and we'll be keeping in touch with them on my behalf. If there was a New Zealand citizen, it would very much depend on whether it was a New Zealand citizen on their own, in which case we would be endeavouring to work, I imagine, through the British authorities on the ground, because they normally support us on consular matters. If it was a New Zealander with a group of other countries, then we would be talking with the other countries about who should take the lead.
Government arrangements
vis-a-vis
Mr. Peters?
None whatsoever.
Is he going to the dinner tonight, Mr.
Peters? No, he's not going to dinner tonight. It's primarily a dinner for those with interests in Turkey. I think there might be two ministers there, but it's a very small number.
Going back to the Wānanga, you said Mr. Whittery's release was a breach of confidence. Was it a breach of privilege to release
it? I understand it's not a breach of privilege, but it is a breach of confidence.
And is the government close to making a decision on whether to appoint a commissioner in place of the board there?
You'd have to go to Dr. Cullen on that.
Mm.